We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, 2026 is not just a new year, it's a year of new. As we embark on this new year, there are things I want to talk to you about that will help make 2026 a year of new. Now, as you look at the calendar for 2026, you will see there's actually lots that will be happening this year. You can just check it off. Look at all that's going on. There's going to be a ton of stuff going on. And if you don't keep your eyes on God's throne, we are prone to stumble. But by keeping our eyes on the throne, He will guide us through all the darkness and broken trails of this world. Now, years ago, a rich man hired an experienced guide to lead them on a hike in the Swiss Alps. Those are some mountains. After some hours of climbing, they came to a high mountain pass. And the storm was blowing in over the crest of the hill. They didn't know it was coming, right? And the crest of that hill, the mountain they're on, they could just see the storms. And to the man's dismay, he saw that the path had almost been washed away. What could he do? On the left was a sheer rock cliff, and on the right was a precipice that dropped nearly 1,000 feet. Looking down, he felt his head was growing faint, and his knees were beginning to buckle. And at that moment, the guide shouted out, "Don't look down or you're a dead man. Keep your eyes on me and where I put my feet, put your feet there as well." The man did what he was told, and he passed out of danger to safety. There's a good chance that we might be challenged in this world too. And it's good advice, keeping for the beginning of this new year, that no one sitting here today, none of us knows what lies ahead for us. We all have plans and dreams, but times and seasons of our life are God's to handle. Tomorrow, you could have something totally different happen to you. Sooner or later, in our life, we will find ourselves in a place where the way ahead seems impossible. That's just a fact of life. And when that happens, we can panic and fall, or we can fix our eyes on Jesus and mark carefully His steps before us. And if we follow Him, we'll be able to get to the end of the year, and we'll have been kept safe by His amazing grace. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5, it tells all who will look at it, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now granted, in the context God was talking about, it's the new heavens and the new earth. But, however, we see that God is in the business of newness. Just look in the Bible. One Bible commentator, William Breckford, wrote, behold, I'm making all things new is a good argument to encourage us to go to Jesus for prayer for receiving grace. Surely, he said. He makes new heavens who can make new hearts.
Amen.
If he can make a new heaven, you can get a new heart. He renews the old world. He can renew the spirit of our minds. He can change the spirit of our minds. And can make old things pass away and cause new things to become new. As we embark upon this new year, there are things I want to talk to you about today that will help make 2026 the year of new. Let's see what they are together as we delve into God's holy word. Today is the first Sunday of the new year. And as we look over the last 12 months, I'm not sure whether most of us would be considered a mountain climber or a rock sitter. You know what I'm talking about? One thing is for sure. Every one of us has been at a point where the path before us seems like a sheer cliff this last year. You've all had it. So, it's good to be able to start over fresh. I like having a new year freshness, don't you? It's a new year, time to start fresh. This week, most of our boys and girls have returned back to the classrooms and the colleges have restarted. And most of us have recovered from all the activities around Christmas, right? The Christmas season. And are well into our jobs and activities for this new year. Some of you maybe not, but most of us have. What do you anticipate for this year? Are you full of enthusiasm, looking forward eagerly to what each day will bring? Or are you filled with a sense of dread? Worrying what this year will be worse than last year. Like the man on the mountain cliff, whose knees were beginning to buckle, we sitting here today need to remember to place our feet where the shepherd has walked ahead of us. Where your feet are placed this year will determine whether this year is a year of victory, of your mountain, or a year of defeat. And it can be either one, it's up to you. So as we embark on this new year, let's start off right out by exploring God's holy word to see what he has to teach us. And let me start in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, if you're making notes, you might want to note that down and check it out later. I'll give you the short version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So if I am a Christian, then I'm not what I once was. The old is gone and I'm a new person. And that means the old things that don't belong need to go. And I need to incorporate new things in my life. Now, how am I going to do that? Do you think about how that newness is going to happen? Do you have a plan to improve your situation? I'll be honest, do you have a plan on improving your financial situation? your work ethic, your relationships, your surroundings. Do you even plan on improving yourself? How do you plan on improving your diet? Whether less junk food, I mean, that's an improvement. And I do like my chocolate. Oh, gotta stay away from that. How about your exercise routine? I'm gonna get a sidebar here, I'm gonna get in trouble with some of the ladies. I do not walk the mall in the early morning because the little old ladies will hurry you along and beat you up. I've had them come up behind me and say, "You're not walking fast enough." I go at noon, okay? When I can look like I'm shopping. 3 laps is if I don't make every corner. But I'm sidebar here, right? If you don't want them to know you're walking the mall, go at noon. If you're not afraid to let the lady tell you you're going too slow, go in the morning. Okay? And they have great coffee at Shields. But noon is my spot. I can hide. But 3 laps is a long ways. And no matter what your age, you can make the laps. But I got to keep going on my sermon or we're going to get in trouble. Are you planning to read more Christian books? You can get them on the internet free. You can pay for them. But are you reading anything? How about doing an in-depth Bible study? Do you plan on improving your church attendance or your involvement? Is this the year that you finally get more serious about all these things? Is this the year you break that habit or develop that spiritual discipline? Is this the year that you take the bull by the horns and say, "Yes, I can, and yes, I will"? It's all up to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, if you're writing down notes, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Pardon me, 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it anymore? Do you not know that all of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We were baptized into his death. We therefore were buried with him through the baptism in death in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we might too might live a new life. Living a new life is not easy, is it? Sometimes it's scary. It's uncomfortable. However, it is necessary. We need to go through the molting process. Now, what is that? Well, how many of you like to eat lobster? Okay? Now, in order to be able to grow, a lobster needs to get rid of their old, hard, protective shell and grow a new, larger one. And this process is called molting. Now, they do this about 25 times in the first 5 years of their life. And then once a year thereafter, once they become adults. It is not a pretty process. Under pressure, the old shell cracks, the protection cracks, and the lobster lays on its side, and then it flexes its muscles, and it shoves itself out from the shell. And then it, for a very short time between leaving that old protective shell and this new shell hardening, the lobster is naked, feeling vulnerable to the elements, and they hide. That is how growth makes us sometimes feel. How we feel, it makes us feel sometimes. Exposed and vulnerable. That's what growth does. But as the lobster needs to do this in order to mature, so do we. Maybe you've been afraid of this process. Perhaps you are reluctant to allow yourself the vulnerability attached to change. You're somewhat comfortable with your old shell. It's no different for us. It's scary, as the process of becoming new can sometimes be. It is well worth it to free us from all that old constricting shell that we used to live under. So shall we go on living in the old shell? By no means. We were meant to break free and live in it no longer. What old shell do you need to get rid of in 2026? What old habit? What old attitude? Whatever it is, break free so this can be the year of something new to you. The Bible tells us sitting here today that along with this new you comes a new outlook. It's not hard to have the wind take it out of our sails. Ever have that happen? It's easy to think we can't. It's easy to be a victim, to be bogged down in our thinking, where we're already convinced that 2026 will be some of the same old, and it's just going to be a terrible year. Get over it. We need a fresh outlook, one that's filled with optimism. Think of where our world could be if certain people listened to the naysayers. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to repeat that. Think of where our world could be if some of the people listened to the naysayers. So you and I, we're going to look at a few of the naysayers. Now, this is one of my favorite. Drilling for oil. It's recorded. It said, you mean to drill into the ground to try to find oil? You're crazy. Now, drillers who were Edwin L. Drake had tried to enlist in a project to drill for oil in the year 1859. He was told he was crazy. He ended up rich. The telephone. Oh, boy. This was actually written down. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered a means of communication. This device is inherently no value to us. That is from 1876, the Western Union's internal memo, and that's what they believed, and they blew it, and they're out of business. Well, they actually went into money transfer business. Now, this guy's really dumb. He said, everything that can be invented has been invented. That was Charles A. Dooley, the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in the year 1899. Look it up. He was saying we ought to close the patent office because everything had been invented in 1899. Now, here's another great one. The wireless music box, that's what a radio was originally called, has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message to be sent to nobody in particular? Now, that was David Shkarkoff, the associates, in response to urgings for an investment into the radios in the 1920s. They're also out of business. It's my favorite. This is for John. We went to Atari, and they said, hey, and we told them, we have this amazing thing, even built with some of your parts. What do you think about funding us? Or tell you what, they actually said, we'll give it to you. We just want to do it. Just pay our salary and we'll come to work for you. And Atari said no. So they went to Hewlett-Packard and they said, we don't need you. You haven't been through college yet, is what they were told. Apple founder Steve Jobs, on his attempt to get Atari and HP interested in his and Steve Womack's personal computer. Instead of the Apple computer, it could have been called the Atari computer, or it could have been called the HP computer. Boy, did they blow it. This is the year of new. You got to stretch out. They offered to him for free. They just wanted him to pay their salary. We need to be visionaries. We need to be thinking ahead, forward-looking Christians. I'm not talking about pipe dreams. I'm talking about passionate, determined minds that contemplate what can be accomplished through hard work and determination. I want to be clear here. I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about spiritually minded Christians who are ready to take an idea and run with it. Not in a scattered, fly by the seat of your pants kind of way, but a planned, well thought out way. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 5, you might want to look this up later, it tells us the plans of a diligent, the plans of the diligent, what's the word? Lead to profit. As surely as haste leads to poverty. Oh, that's great, right? So be diligent. Means I am hardworking, but careful with how I do it. As opposite to the hasty person who may have a decent idea but doesn't think it through and comes up with nothing. Y'all know some of those. You got some of those in your family, right? Our new outlook needs to be tempered with conscientious wisdom. It's good to be passionate, but it needs to be controlled. It's good to be passionate. Oh, it is, but it needs to be controlled. Instead of seeing 2026 throughout the same old lens, let's have a new outlook. One that envisions new things on a new horizon. Along with this new you, and this new outlook, comes a new agenda. Now you might be thinking, I already have an agenda, and it's pretty full. Those of you who have jobs, have families, you have appointments, you have meetings, you have after-school events, you have weekend projects, and et cetera, et cetera. Anybody got an extra 5 minutes in their life? You filled it up with something. You're probably wondering how there could be possibly room for more room for a new agenda. Obviously, we sitting there today can't change certain things. You can't change work. You know, you got to have a job. You can't change raising a family. Things like that. They're there. But perhaps we can have a new agenda, a new work, and a new agenda with their family. If we don't... How am I going to word this and not get you too upset? We don't add something new, but we replace something that's already been there with something more inclusive to God's plan. See, I'm not asking you to do one more thing in the week. I'm saying get rid of something, right? And fill it up with something more in God's plan. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 5 through 17, all who read it are told, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So are we careful how we're living? Are we spending our time wisely? And I don't think make the most of every opportunity means that you have to make your life more busier and forgo your rest and your downtime. When it's downtime, take downtime. But we can do what the Apostle Paul says and allow ourselves to evaluate our time and agenda. Let me go back to my walking. Sidebar here. I do not walk the mall in the morning. I was actually told by the little old ladies to hurry up. I was limping along doing my exercises, right? I mean, I could turn around and explain to her I've had a new hip, I tore all my muscles. It would not have done me a bit of good because she did not talk in that tone, right? I go later. Because I'm making the most of my time. And she was being very nice. She just thought I was going too slow. I thought I was doing pretty good. Yeah, we got to keep going on the sermon. But you see what I'm saying? You got to make the best use of your time. Don't stop. Keep going. But we can take what the Apostle Paul says, and we need to allow ourselves our time and our agenda and to evaluate it. You see, there could be some tweaking or even radical change in our agenda once in a while. What are your plans? What are your goals? Do you have any? What do you want to happen in the year 2026? Do you believe in great and wonderful things that can happen? Gotta have a plan. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Don't be skeptical, right? Be convinced. Moses was skeptical as God showed him that he could be equipped to lead the nation. Gideon was the youngest in the family, and his family was the poorest of all the tribe of Manasseh. God made him a strong warrior and delivered Israel into his hands, and he was the weakest there was. So we need to start with believing that God can and will do great things through us. Why not you? Why not Cornerstone? Why not Bismarck and Mandan? Where do you fit in taking the church to the next level? Have you given it any thought? What ideas do you have? What have you been thinking about that would cause more people to be reached for Christ? Have you asked yourself a question? How can I bring more people to church? 80% of the people come to church is because somebody personally invited them. That's just a mathematical fact. If you don't invite them, they're not going to come. How can I make a difference in people's lives? We need to live wisely. And part of living wisely is believing in and being mindful of and taking advantage of spiritual opportunities that are in accordance with God's will and timing. It means being in tune and in step with the Holy Spirit so that we can turn those wonderful opportunities into successes. It means being open about your faith in the year 2026. It means taking a chance. It means stepping outside your personal comfort zone. It means being God's hands and feet in this dark, dark world. But you need a plan. You need to be the light. Proverbs 6, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It's not if, it will. The formula for success is when it's the Lord's will is at the forefront of all your decisions and your ideas and your passions. Amen. Now, what else? Let's see then. If I set out to do everything in accordance with the Holy Spirit's living and timing, then I will experience success. Now we have to be careful of this. We've got to be careful how we word this. Because we can always fall into the trap of performance. We can get caught up with accomplishing, and we can become such perfectionists in the sight, and we lose sight of what's important. We lose view of what's important. When you set out to do something and mess up along the way, and you don't do it exactly right, then we can find ourselves set back and back into our same old little rut. And nothing's changed. We have to decide if we're going to commit to making changes. We have to be open to keep on going. Oftentimes, we start strong, but finish weak. That's how diets disappear. You start strong, and that candy bar gets you. You know, they put them right at the checkout so they get you, right? Oftentimes, we need a game plan. We don't only need a game plan to start. Let's word it that way. We need a game plan to remain consistent. Sometimes we put off because we feel like certain things have to be in place before we can start. If this happens, then I'll do that. See, when I love this one. Pardon me. You ever heard this one? When I get my ducks in a row, then I'll be able to start making changes. Bull naked. When things slow down, I'll be able to read the Bible more. If I think the world around me needs to change in order for me to change, then I got it all backwards. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Write that down so you look it up whatever later. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. What this means is, if you plan on waiting for the conditions to be favorable before you start, then nothing will be accomplished. If you plan on waiting for the conditions to be favorable, then nothing will be accomplished. You have to start where you're at and trust God to get you there, to where you need to be. So we need to answer the question, how will my life be different this year? What's the game plan for developing a new me, a new outlook, a new agenda? What am I going to do in 2026? I don't know. See, you got to ask for God for advice. Some of you, I'll be honest, need to figure out that if you open the Bible and you read 10 pages a day, you're done in a year. Now, if you never read the Bible in your life all the way through, I'd start Matthew. It's a lot easier than the old names in the Old Testament. Get in the habit of reading before you get to the old names. Okay? There's a wonderful reference, if you ever want to read the Bible, James Earl Jones. And he reads the Bible and he sounds like God. And if he pronounces it that way, it's that way. Because he's a 4-year college degree in linguistics, and he actually studied for a year before he ever read the Bible. I use him a lot. If you were Casey here in the morning, you'd hear me, I'd go through all the, okay, how do you pronounce this? How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce this? You know, so I get the right pronunciations. But if you haven't read the Bible through, that'd be the first thing on your plan. There's all sorts of other things you can add. But God's word will not return void. So we need to close, because there's a whole pile of goodies out there waiting for you. Okay? And if you're new around here, stick around and talk to somebody and meet somebody. But we need to pray for the food so you can nibble on it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are in a new year and a new time. Guide us, direct us, empower us to be the light that you've called us to be. We thank you for the blessings of this last year. But there's challenges this coming year. When we look at the calendar, it feels like the whole world should fall apart. But you won't let it. You are our rock and our salvation. You are the great Jehovah. And with you on our side, we can conquer any problem. All God's people said, amen.